Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, December 6th. The people who oversee Colorado's road improvement budget have some gloomy predictions for drivers after voters rejected two transportation funding initiatives in November. Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Transportation commissioners were hoping the state would get hundreds of millions of dollars to add new passing lanes on rural highways and improve I-70 in the mountains. But these projects and several others around the state will be postponed due to the election results. Commissioner Rocky Scott of El Paso County says it won't be long before drivers in Colorado Springs and other cities feel the effects.
For some of our major roads, we expect gridlock. We expect essentially failing intersections and failing major arterials within 5 years.
Commissioners also predict a funding shortfall will delay the expansion of the regional bus service known as Bustang. From the state capitol, I'm Scott Franz.
Tourism is one of the strongest economic drivers in the state of Colorado and of many communities on the western slope. But the influx of visitors to some areas isn't always seen as a good thing. As part of our series at Western Slope Resources Reporting, Laura Anderson from KBUT in Crested Butte reports on how one community is taking action.
According to the Colorado Tourism Office, since 2009, Colorado has seen a 41% increase in tourism, double the national average, totaling 86 million visitors in 2017. Many of those travelers are ending up in Gunnison County to enjoy the natural beauty that abounds in the remote backcountry. But an increase in visitors means impacts to fragile high alpine resources are inevitable, exacerbated by the fact that many of the tourists who come to use the high country don't know how to protect it. As a result, local organizations are working to ensure that visitors are educated about how to use and preserve these delicate ecosystems. Ashley Upchurch, executive director of the Crested Butte and Mount Crested Butte Chamber of Commerce, explains.
Part of our responsibility is that we're marketing towns, so we have to take responsibility for the fact that we're bringing tourists in and they're going out and using our backcountry. And we want to make sure that we're educating those tourists that we bring in and making sure that they're treating our backcountry appropriately as we bring them in to help our economy.
That includes telling people where they can camp, where to use the bathroom, and how to clean up after themselves. And of course, don't feed the bears. To kickstart the process, the Chamber and the U.S. Forest Service placed 8 porta-potties at high-traffic trailheads surrounding Crested Butte over the summer. The hope was that they would cut down on the amount of human waste in the woods. Human waste that organizations like the Crested Butte Conservation Corps, or CBCC, must haul back to town sanitation facilities. The CBCC was founded 2 years ago by the Crested Butte Mountain Bike Association, as their director, David Ox, explains.
There was a huge void or lapse, if you will, in terms of under-resourced, understaffed out there in the backcountry. And we, as mountain bikers, feel a very strong sense of obligation to conservation. And we took it upon ourselves to start the Crested Butte Conservation Corps.
According to Ox, Conservation Corps workers had about 1,400 conversations with backcountry users and more than 10,000 impressions on people through their work hauling trash, directing traffic, and being available to visitors. The CBCC is also doing its part to help remove waste from remote areas. In 2017, crews removed 700 pounds of trash, along with toilets, grills, and a few reclining chairs. This year, the organization has removed more than 500 pounds of waste, plus a boat and trailer and a sliding camper for a pickup truck, which Ox estimates totals more than 1,500 pounds of trash. Why are such things there in the first place? Ox isn't quite sure, but guesses that some of it comes from people who find that temporary living in the backcountry isn't easy.
I think some of it is, you know, the unprepared and the unknown phenomenon that comes along and it just forces people to leave. The other ones, I don't know. I don't know why people abandon sometimes personal belongings. We've come across personal belongings. I mean, personal photos, ID, what looks like some memorable paraphernalia, if you will, and it just gets left behind. It's crazy. Can't explain why all the time. I think sometimes it is the weather.
Ox says he feels it's up to the CBCC and other organizations in Gunnison County to educate visitors and provide more infrastructure in remote areas because he knows quite a few of the millions of people visiting Colorado will find themselves in the backcountry.
It's up to us. I think it really is up to us to educate, provide the infrastructure. And again, it's not like it was in the 70s. It's not like it was in the 80s. It's not like it was in the 90s. And I moved here in the early 2000s. It wasn't like it was in the early 2000s. they're coming, and if we don't get in front of it, that's on us.
Reporting for KBUT, I'm Laura Anderson.
This story is part of Western Slope Resources Reporting, a collaboration between KBUT, KSJD, and three other radio stations in rural Colorado, made possible with support from the Gates Family Foundation.
Colorado residents are sending their wish lists to incoming Governor Jared Polis. Scott Franz has more.
From a $15 minimum wage to a central state bank for the marijuana industry, the requests are coming in fast. The governor-elect's transition team has held two telephone town halls in recent days to get the feedback. The calls start out with updates on the hiring process for cabinet positions. Then callers can speak directly to the transition team. Joan from Longmont had this request for the governor-elect.
Help us finish our Fast Tracks rail system through RTD. We voted for it in 2004, and we still have four unfinished corridors.
Information is online at boldlyforward.co. I'm Scott Franz.
A task force charged with evaluating Colorado's juvenile justice system released its final report in November. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KRCC, Jake Brownell reports that the document points to shortcomings in the system and puts forth a number of policy recommendations.
The task force brought together lawmakers and experts from across the criminal justice system to examine the outcomes for youth offenders in Colorado. Among the issues they identified is a roughly 50% recidivism rate for incarcerated children, and a general tendency toward overpunishing kids for minor crimes. State House Representative and Senator-elect Pete Lee, a Democrat from Colorado Springs, co-chaired the task force.
The best thing you can do for most juveniles in the criminal justice system is to get them out of the criminal justice system, out of the juvenile justice system.
The task force recommends expanding access to diversion programs and creating new standards for juvenile probation, among other policy changes. Lee says he plans to co-sponsor a bill based on the recommendations with his task force co-chair, Republican Senator Bob Gardner, in the coming legislative session. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Jake Brownell.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, December 6th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.